is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
1 year mark since the state emergency declared. And County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer talking about COVID-19 as we do every Monday for the last several months. Dr. Bob, what do you remember about that day?
Well, I remember that we were just awaiting our first case, and we had a fellow who was quite sick and got the test back. We actually had somebody drive it up specially so it would get there on time, and we got the results that indeed we had our first case here in Douglas County.
And tied into that was the state of emergency declared by the governor. And a lot of folks who aren't normally, at least before this time, not known for always working on Sunday, were all over Salem.
Exactly correct. This was an all-out effort. When we got up there, the state health officer, the governor, everybody else was there because this was so important.
And the last year, I imagine, is probably unparalleled in what you've dealt with during your long career.
Well, this has been different from things that I've dealt with in my career, but so many of the things that I've done in the past prepared me for this. So my time in the Navy, my time working at Aviva, my time working in pediatrics, all of these seem to come together to help me be prepared for this past year.
And as this all began, it seemed like Douglas County and what is now the Douglas County COVID-19 response team, I mean, a lot of this ramped up pretty fast.
Indeed, we were able to ramp up very quickly. So we were able to hire the people we needed and gather the people in the community to come together. You know, we had done things together as a community for a long time with our drive-through vaccine events, the other kinds of things we'd done together. So we didn't have to learn everybody's name and figure out who we should contact. We knew who to contact, and we knew how to work together.
Well, as we've gotten through this time, there's certainly been a lot of ups and downs and bumps and things. So let's talk about where the county is right now. We've seen a high number of cases in the past 2 weeks. Of course, right now we're continuing at the extreme risk level. We anticipate the governor's office will be announcing the risk level changes to begin on Friday tomorrow. How do things look?
Well, it looks like we'll continue to be in the extreme range. We've had quite a few number of cases over the last month or so, which has gotten us into the extreme range 2 weeks ago and then remain in the extreme range. We don't know what that's all about. We are very concerned about the variants.
And do you think there's any connection, somebody asked about this over the weekend, between the increase in local cases and that some pharmacies have been offering the free drive-up COVID test, meaning that maybe the problem has gone up, or maybe it's that more cases are being found faster, or is it a little of both?
I think it's probably not due to an increase in testing. Our amount of testing has stayed about the same, but the number of positive tests have increased. Now, we're really glad that people are doing that drive-up testing, but they've only added about 5% to the number of tests, where we've about doubled the number of cases.
So what are these local cases connected to? What types of situations?
So most of the cases we're seeing now are in workplaces and associated with schools. So the workplace ones have been especially worrisome because we've seen a number of workplaces where one person gets infected and then within a week or two, everybody's infected. And so that's been a big concern. And we've seen in different things, food service establishments, automotive shops, banks. So really seen a lot of spread in those areas. We've also seen a number of cases associated with schools and churches.
And for the school cases, I know you and other health officials have said all along that these are less dangerous, but they still end up in the tally of data.
Right. They end up in the tally of data. And again, we don't think that these are necessarily spreading at school, but they're coming to school. So one of the outbreaks we're seeing now may have spread at school, but more likely that it spread at church, and then the church members go to school, and then they bring these cases into the school.
Now, we've got two schools right now, Camas Valley Charter and South Umpqua High School, that have had to move to comprehensive distance learning for the next week or maybe a little bit longer, depending on each case is a little different. So that shows just how quickly things can get impacted when just depending on who happens to have been in contact with who.
Yes, and especially in small schools like Camas, just one case can really knock out a lot of the kids and make it hard to continue with in-person learning.
So statewide, how are things looking?
Well, statewide, the number of cases continues to be low and is staying about the same. Unfortunately, in Coos, Curry, and Jackson counties, we've seen a disturbing uptick in the number of cases in those counties all surrounding us.
Any idea why those counties are particularly affected?
Again, we don't know. So there's so much that's mysterious about this disease, but this uptick in Southwest Oregon is especially unusual because Southwest Oregon has been, for pretty much the whole pandemic, the lowest area. So I said for many months that if the Southwest Oregon was a state to itself, we would have had far and away the lowest rate in the country. And so why we're seeing an uptick now is a little less clear. Could be due to the variants. It also could be due to the fact that we've had so little disease in the past that this increase in disease is just related to the fact that we haven't had much in the past. Even now, though, when we're still saying we're seeing a lot of disease, we're still less than the national average.
Now, with those three counties and Douglas in particular going up, what about other parts of the state where you've seen an increase?
Pretty much it's along the I-5 corridor. We're starting to see a little bit of increase over the last 2 weeks as things have opened up. But generally, Oregon is one of the least active states in the country. So we've had one of the lowest case rates and one of the lowest death rates over the last month. So Oregon has really performed well.
Nationwide, how do things look? Where are the hotspots around the country?
Well, nationwide, we're about average. We're averaging between 60,000 and 70,000 cases a day. That's a lot of cases. And about 1,900 deaths a day. Still, a year ago, we would have thought that any day with those numbers would be unthinkable. And now we're kind of patting ourselves on the back when we have a day with only 50,000 new cases and only 1,500 deaths. So this is still an active pandemic in the country. There's no one area which is particularly hot. We're seeing a lot of cases in the Texas Panhandle. We're seeing a bunch of cases in New York. And we're seeing cases in places in Alaska. And then, oddly enough, Alabama has a fair amount of disease.
And for a number of states, we've seen several in recent days that are pulling back on their mask mandates. Does that concern you?
Well, the worry is that we're going to continue to have a lot of disease and then the variants will spread. And the variants are really the wild card in all of this. So the variants could make it much worse because they could be more contagious and they could be less amenable to the antibody treatment and to the vaccine, which would make it really hard. And so the variance is really the wild card. And the problem with the variance is that it takes so long to get the results back. In our case, about a month to get the results back. And so those cases, for example, that we saw at the nursing home a month ago, the variant testing has been out there for weeks now, and we still don't have the results.
CDC in the last day in particular, it seems like they're especially concerned about these variants right now.
Well, I think anybody who's paying attention should be concerned about the variants.
And for the issue of the variants, you talked last week explaining a little bit more about it. I think that this area of science is something that's new to a lot of people, even though you said that variants are common with other issues as well.
So variants are common with almost every virus. And in fact, this virus has an internal proofreader, so it has fewer variants than some viruses. For example, the flu or HIV don't have internal proofreaders, and they wind up having many more variants. What we know now is that we can actually look for these variants quickly. So 15 or 20 years ago, if you wanted to find a variant, it would take years of research to find one variant in one germ. Now we can do it in the space of just a day or two. And so we know a lot more about the variants, and we're able to see where these small changes in the virus are. And some of those small changes make this virus more contagious. Now, most are just nonsense and they go away, or they're actually detrimental and they go away. But the occasional one, maybe one in a thousand of these variants, actually makes the germ stronger.
Going to take a break and back in 1 minute with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. The interview will be a podcast after one. You can share it around from 541radio.com. Back in a moment with more Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1. On tomorrow's program, Jillian Wiesenberg from the Douglas Education Service District will go in depth on the Preschool Promise Program. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us for our weekly in-depth dive into lots of topics regarding COVID-19. Now, I think it was just this morning I first heard that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issuing some new guidance for those vaccinated regarding contact with others who are vaccinated. Can you go over that?
Yes. Yeah, so the CDC came out with guidance just this morning, so don't feel bad if you haven't seen it yet. But they came out with guidance of what people who are fully vaccinated could do. And so there's three different things. The one is the grandmother exception. And that says if you're fully vaccinated, you can visit unvaccinated low-risk people, like your grandkids. The second one is the dinner exception. So people who are fully vaccinated can gather with others who are fully vaccinated without masks or social distancing, such as for dinner. So if you and your spouse are fully vaccinated and another couple are fully vaccinated, you can safely gather for a meal. And then the third exception is the exception to quarantine. And so that if you have been exposed and are fully vaccinated, you can quarantine if you want, but you can skip quarantine as long as you self-monitor. So the grandma exception, the dinner exception, and the quarantine exception.
And I imagine that's probably some pretty good news for some people.
Well, it's a great news for us grandparents because now we can visit our grandkids and feel safe about it.
Do you feel like this new guidance will motivate more people to get vaccinated when they can?
Well, I certainly hope it will motivate people. I think there are a lot of motivations, and I hope this will be part of the motivation to get people to be vaccinated. In addition, we may see travel restrictions to certain areas be loosened if you're fully vaccinated. So, for example, a foreign country or a state in the U.S. May allow you to visit if you are fully vaccinated, and that would certainly be great, especially if it was Hawaii.
And for couples in particular, if they are both vaccinated, both want to do some travel, that sort of might open the door for some things later this year.
I think it would. And that would be another reason to be vaccinated. Again, the biggest reason to be vaccinated is so that we can be done with this. And even if you individually are at low risk, by more people getting vaccinated, the sooner we'll be done with this. And if we can get vaccinated people vaccinated quickly before the variants have a chance to spread, we do have a chance of nearly eliminating this disease locally by the summertime.
Now, I noticed in the quick read I did of the CDC guidance, they are still emphasizing masks, et cetera, around the general public, and especially when you know particularly that some of the people are you around are not vaccinated, even if you are.
Yes, that's correct. So that if you are vaccinated and you're at the supermarket or you're at the takeout store, you should certainly still wear your mask because you can't be sure that the people who are serving you have not been vaccinated.
Now, I know I've seen in different articles around the country from different national sources that it looks like resistance to the vaccine is going down. Have you seen that in folks you've encountered around this area?
So we have a couple of groups. Some of the people were the early adopters who were going to get the vaccine no matter what. But then we have a bunch of people who were hesitant. They wanted to be sure that others didn't have troubles with it. They wanted to be sure that the vaccine seemed to work. They wanted to be sure that there was going to be nothing untoward. Now that the vaccine's been out for several months, it seems to be incredibly safe and incredibly effective. I think some of those people were on the fence before are now jumping in and wanting to get vaccine.
With the Johnson & Johnson vaccine now out, it seems like the vaccine supply in the county has gone way up.
So we had a great week last week in terms of getting vaccine supply. As people say, I've been a burr in the saddle of the people at the state, and finally we're getting what I think is our fair share of vaccine. So we got almost as much vaccine last week as we had gotten in the 8 weeks beforehand. So we are sitting on some vaccine. And the good news is we've been able to give vaccine to all of our medical providers in the pharmacies and still had a little bit left. So we're actually going to do a drive-through event this Saturday at the fairgrounds. And so it should be a good event. We're going to have both the Pfizer and the J&J vaccine. And so we're going to be able to do that at the fairgrounds this Saturday. We still don't know exactly how many doses until that arrives, but we think it's going to at least be several hundred doses. We're going to have people sign up for this so that there's not a mad rush. And we're going to have people either sign up online or by telephone to get one of these vaccines on Saturday.
So is that going to be tied into the current guidance in terms of age range and all that?
So we're going to leave this one for seniors because, remember, our goal is to get as many seniors vaccinated by the end of the month. And we're not going to have the ability to do the judging of whether people are eligible or not. So this is really just going to be for seniors 65 and above. So anyone 65 and above who wants to get a vaccine can sign up and get one.
Now, with the three vaccines, it seems like the J&J has a few differences, of course, one shot versus two. But can you talk more about some of those differences?
Well, it's a totally different kind of vaccine. So the Moderna and the Pfizer are messenger RNA vaccines. The J&J is an adenoviral vector vaccine, so very different in their design, but fairly similar in their effectiveness. Now, they were tried at different times. They were tested at different times. So Moderna and Pfizer were tested in the U.S. mostly in the fall before there were a lot of variants. The J&J was tested in the U.K., South Africa, Brazil, and the U.S. when there were a lot of variants. And so actually the J&J had a much, much tougher test than the Moderna and Pfizer, and still came out pretty good. It's a little lower in terms of preventing symptomatic disease, but excellent in preventing hospitalizations and deaths.
With spring right around the corner, the time change this weekend, and we're almost to spring, obviously people can shift some activities outdoors more. Now, from my reading, immunologists don't always agree on the actual percentage, but it seems like they do agree that there's so many things that can be done safer if done outside. Why is that?
So outdoors, we think, is at least 10 times safer than indoors. And the reason is that there's so much better airflow outdoors. So the wind that's there, the lack of walls, just allows so much more ventilation outside than inside. So if you've ever had a little fire in the house, you can see immediately how smoky it gets. Yet outside, we do fires all the time and campfires, and it's much less smoky outside. And that's just because there's so much more airflow outside. So when the Chinese looked very carefully at where people got disease, they could only find one case where it appeared that somebody got this disease outside. And so much, 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 much safer outside than inside. Some people say 10 times safer or 100 times safer, but it is much safer to be outside than inside. So I had a question today about setting up a memorial service, and they're asking what things they could do to make it safer. And so wearing masks makes it safer. Having everybody get a vaccine makes it safer. But the number one thing you can do to make it safer is do it outside.
And that might answer, you know, a need for some folks. We know that a lot of people who've had family members pass away, whether it's COVID or totally unrelated things, have been reluctant to have a special kind of service. It went with whatever their thoughts were and have basically been delaying it. So I suppose you might see more of those start to begin.
We may start to see more of those begin, especially as more people get vaccinated. Because remember, with the new CDC guidelines, if everybody is vaccinated, this is then considered to be a much safer event.
I'm curious about what kind of response your contact tracers from Douglas Public Health get to from people when they're contacted.
So it goes the whole range. Most people are incredibly grateful and wonderful to work with. Some people are initially skeptical and then warm up. And we have a couple of people that we describe as the salty ones, and they're resistant and troubled. But those are few and far between. Most of the people have been incredibly grateful and wonderful to work with.
As I have heard from other people I know, because I've got friends spread really around the world, but especially around the country, and knowing some who have tested positive, when I've talked about what's done here, in most of all of the cases, it doesn't seem like this level of contact tracing is happening in a lot of other places.
Well, in many cases, it's not happening. In many cases, it's late to get back or you get a letter in the mail. We have really an extraordinary staff of all local people who are helping with this. And so the story in the newspaper yesterday about people going out to the house and fixing their helping them fix their thermostat because it would be hard to do quarantine in their cold house, something like that is just truly touching.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, our weekly in-depth look at COVID-19. Dr. Bob, thanks for being on.
Well, thank you for having me.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.